Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to you. We haven't greeted you yet. Father, as we prepare ourselves to listen to the ministry of your word, would you speak to us, Lord? Would you open our hearts and our minds? Allow us to clearly hear what you want us to hear and see what you want us to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're continuing our Lenten series about following Christ. We see how we follow him in the desert. And we looked previously and we saw how Jesus was tempted in the desert. Our text this morning is found in John chapter 11 from verse 1 to 44. That's the very passage that we read early on. So we're going to have it up on the back. Now we're all about following Jesus. And if you'd listen to the passage, now I'm sure you have heard the story of Lazarus before. How Jesus called him out of the tomb. But maybe you didn't get the full story. And so we went through that process of reading those verses. But it speaks to the fact that every believer eventually faces a moment when Jesus seems late. You pray, you plead, you wait, and nothing happens. And the sickness worsens, or the relationship breaks. The job disappears, and the grief widens and deepens. And you wonder, Lord, where are you? When we read this text, we hear, we see that Martha and Mary know that feeling. They send word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. And they expect him to come immediately. But he doesn't. He waits. And Lazarus dies. But this chapter is not just the story of a miracle. Because we know that Jesus went there and he called Lazarus out of the grave. But it's a story of how Jesus reveals his glory in the darkest places of our lives. It's really a story about Jesus revealing his glory in the darkest places of our lives. And the overwhelming truth that holds this whole passage together is very simple. But as simple as it is, that is how profound it is. That Jesus reveals his glory by giving life to those who trust him. Jesus reveals his glory by giving life to those who trust him. And so I want us to walk through the story that you've already read and see how Jesus does this. How does Jesus reveal his glory? By giving life to those who trust him. One of the first ways is that Jesus reveals his glory by exercising sovereign purpose in our suffering. Jesus reveals his glory by exercising sovereign purpose in our suffering. And we see that in verses 1 to 16. The first surprise in this passage is not the miracle. The fact that Jesus called Lazarus out of the dead, that he stood up and came out. No, it's the delay. That's the first surprise. Because if you look at verse 5 says Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Or Martha and his sister and Lazarus. And verse 6 then says because he loved them, he stayed where he was 2 more days. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And this is difficult for most of us to understand. If Jesus loved them, why the delay? Why the wait? You see, that doesn't fit our expectations. We think love means immediate rescue. When you receive the call, you run. Jesus thinks that love means deeper faith. And so when we look at this, when we investigate how Jesus reveals his glory by exercising his sovereign purpose in our suffering, when we investigate that, we see that his delay is intentional. Jesus is never hurried, never pressured, never reactive. We see that he moves according to the Father's perfect wisdom. And Jesus delays because something greater is coming. But from the human perspective, the delay, when we have to wait, that delay feels like abandonment. See, faith does not remove confusion. If you're confused, don't think you don't have faith. And so I want to speak a bit about this delay, just very briefly. Now we know what a valley is, and we stand at a high place and then we go down into the valley and hopefully we're coming out on the other end. But here in this delay we see the start of the valley, where we enter the low places of life, illness, and we have to wait. Unanswered prayers, and when it feels like we're walking alone. But I want you to see that Jesus is already walking towards us, even when we cannot see him. But I want you to remember that valley and where that valley begins. You see, not only is Jesus' delay intentional, his purpose is God's glory. Now, we often struggle with that word glory. One thing it does not mean is fame. Instead, what it does mean, it means the visible display of God's reality, the visible display of God's power, of who he is. This sickness is for the glory of God. That's what it says in the text. This sickness is for the glory of God. I want you to hear carefully, not caused by God, but used by God. In fact, Jesus sees beyond the crisis. He sees further than that. He looks to the glory on the other side. We see that his delay is intentional. His purpose is God's glory. But we also see that his timing deepens faith. I mean, listen to the words of the Savior. He says, "I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe." The death. If he had been there, he would have stopped it. But now something else is at work. You see, the reason Jesus says this is because he's shaping disciples. He's not just solving problems. And that sometimes brings about confusion. Because we want God to solve our problems. We even want the minister to solve our problem. But if he's faithful to God, and if he's mindful of God's purpose, I'm talking about the minister now, then he will be about making disciples, not about solving your problems. Yes, hopefully he comes alongside you in the challenges that you face. But he's not there, nor is Jesus just interested in solving your problems. But I'm also mindful that some of you are living in that delay right now. You've prayed, and nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. But I want to remind you that Jesus is not absent. I want to point out to you that Jesus is purposeful. He's doing something greater than what we can see. He's busy revealing his glory by exercising his sovereignty in our suffering. You see, Jesus reveals his glory not only through his timing, but through his truth. So Jesus reveals his glory by offering resurrection life to all who trust him. You see, when Jesus arrives at the scene, when he arrives in Bethany, Lazarus has already been dead 4 days. We see that the professional mourners are there, the tomb is sealed, and it appears as if hope is gone. Martha's first on the sheep. Martha runs to him with a mixture of faith and pain. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." This is not unbelief. It's really grief mixed with faith. She still says, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And then we see our Savior's response with one of the most, one greatest declarations in Scripture. We see Jesus declaring His identity. So He reveals His glory by declaring His identity. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He doesn't say, I can do resurrection. Not I bring resurrection. Not I teach resurrection. But I am resurrection. You see, life is more than just a concept. Life is a person. Jesus declares His identity. But at the same time as He declares His identity, He also calls for personal faith. He calls for more than just pitching up on a Sunday morning. This is His words to Martha. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? He doesn't ask, do you understand this? Not, do you feel this? He's really asking, do you trust me? I want you to see that faith is not abstract. It's relational. It's confidence in the person standing before Martha. And so faith is much more than just believing the facts. It's really about trusting the person. And we see Martha's response. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. She believes before she fully understands. So Jesus declares His identity. I am the resurrection. And then He calls for personal faith. But we see that He also enters into human grief. We see this when Mary comes next. And she falls at Jesus' feet. This is Lazarus' other sister. And she says the exact same words. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same sentence. Maybe I should have read it in a different tone. Whereas Martha speaks standing, Mary speaks weeping. You see, people react differently, respond differently to suffering. Some people respond to suffering with questions. Think of the questions you've been asking. Others respond with tears. When we look at Jesus and the account given to us, we see that Jesus receives and responds compassionately to both kinds of people. Those who approach with questions and sort of theological reflection, like Martha. And those who approach with broken hearts and tears, like Mary. In fact, it's when Jesus sees Mary weeping that we read that famous verse. Jesus wept. I believe that this shows that Jesus meets people differently, but lovingly. And whether their faith expresses itself more through thinking or through feeling, but Jesus sees Mary weeping. He sees the mourners, and we can call them professional mourners, but He sees them and He feels the sting of death. And He weeps. The very one who is the resurrection and life enters into our sorrow. And His tears are part of His glory. He weeps. I want you, while we're listening, you listen to me, see the valley. See the valley deepening now. Martha brings questions. Mary brings tears. Both are honest cries of people walking through shadowy places. Shadowed places in their lives. And Jesus meets them on the path. Doesn't meet them above it or beyond it, but in it. And so if you ask, how does this apply to me? Bring your grief to Jesus. Bring it to Him. However you bring it, whether it's in questions or in emotional outbursts or in silent reflection, bring it to Him. Because He's not distant. He's not unmoved. He's the God who weeps with you and speaks life to you. We've seen that Christ speaks the truth. He reveals himself, his identity. Now he will show the truth. You see, because Jesus also reveals his glory by conquering death. He reveals his glory through conquering death by his life-giving power. And we see that from verses 38 to 44. Because at this point, the scene shifts to the tomb. There's a stone. And beyond that stone, there's a smell. A finality. And Jesus stands before the grave. The grave that is the symbol of humanity's greatest enemy. And as he reveals his glory, he confronts the reality of death. In fact, he reveals his glory by confronting the reality of death. You see, he doesn't avoid the tomb. In fact, he commands the stone to be removed. And this is when we protest. Very often we don't like the stone to be removed. Think of the tomb that hides all your secrets. The things you want to keep hidden. And we protest like Martha. Lord, by now there's a stench. If we open this up, it's not going to be good. And Jesus responds, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I want you to see this. This moment, this movement of Jesus being at the top with us as we look into the valley, going down into the valley, and then stepping fully into the valley. You see, Jesus doesn't remain behind on the rim looking down. He descends into the darkness with us. He weeps in the valley. Can you see that God is not distant from our pain? He's not left us alone. So Jesus firstly confronts the reality of death, and then he prays for the Father's glory. He prays aloud. And he doesn't pray aloud to sort of gain or because he needs reassurance, but so that the people may believe. If you listen to his prayer, he says, I knew that you always hear me. You see, Jesus knows his relationship with the Father. But he wants the crowd to understand the purpose of the miracle. He wants them to believe. He wants the Father to be glorified. Well, right at the beginning of the chapter, John speaks to that, tells us what it's about. God's glory. The glory of the Son. But Jesus doesn't only confront the reality of death, and he's not just the God who weeps. Yes, he prays for the Father's glory, but he's also the one who commands life from the grave, where he changes the situation. And so he speaks, Lazarus, come out. The voice who created the universe calls a dead man to life. And the result? Lazarus walks out, still wrapped in grave clothes, but alive. And so my carnal mind kind of sort of thinks at this moment, was he smelling? Was he not smelling? I was like, I don't know. But he was alive. At that point, he's alive. The voice that created the universe calls a dead man to life. And yes, this is the climax of the story. This is the glory of Jesus put on display. But it also acts as a preview to his own resurrection. Pointing to a resurrection, pointing to a promise that is ours. Because we too, because of him, will have a resurrection. And so I want you to see this fourth movement. You've been following me into the valley, at the rim, entering in, fully in the valley. And now light breaks into the valley, at the tomb, the deepest point. Jesus speaks a word that cuts through all the shadows, all the stuff in our lives. Wants to take us right out of it. Lazarus, come out. You see, the valley is not the end. It's not the end of it. We have a shepherd that calls his sheep by their name. And so we need to ask, where do you need Jesus to speak life today? Where do you need Jesus to speak life today? Do you need Jesus? You asked that question early on. But do you need him? And where do you want him to speak life? Is it a dead marriage, a dead hope, a dead faith, a dead dream? Jesus still brings life wherever death wants to reign. Now we know that John 11 ends, well, it's not quite the end of the chapter, but we ended at verse 44. Ends with a man walking out of a tomb because Jesus spoke. But the story is not really about, it's not just about Lazarus. It's really about you. It's really about us. And this is the fifth and final movement. As we walk out of the valley, we hear the call to follow the life giver. As we walk out of the valley, the grave clothes fall away. New life begins. And it's the very voice that we hear that calls us, that leads us forward. So not back into death, but into freedom, into hope, and into that resurrection life. You see, Jesus is still revealing his glory. He still works with sovereign purpose. He still offers every one of us resurrection life. And he still conquers death with his power. And he still calls people by name. Can you hear your name being called? You see, the question Jesus asked Martha is the question he asks you today. Do you believe this? Jesus reveals his glory by giving life to those who trust him. And so my fervent prayer is that you would put your hope in him, that you would trust him. Trust him in the delay, in the grief, so that you can see his glory in your life, that you would see his glory. Because he's still the same one who says, come out, come into life. He's the one who calls us to follow him. And so if I've done anything this morning, I'm hoping that you would hear the voice of Jesus calling you out of bondage, calling you to a place of life, calling you to life, because he is life and is offering you himself, his life. Let's bow our heads. Lord, what amazing grace that even in the stench of death, in the stench of our sin, you call us. You call us forth. Oh Lord, would we have ears to hear you? Lord, we sing a song, say, rain on me, Holy Spirit, rain on me. But Lord, you've placed your Spirit in us. You speak to us through your Spirit. Lord, would you call your people forth out of darkness? In fact, you're already calling them forth, and so you send heralds to announce the calling forth. Oh, may we respond, Lord. Lord, strengthen our feeble hearts. Lord, would you do that transforming work of your Holy Spirit in our lives? Thank you for revealing your glory. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our last song. Be thou my vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, both by day, by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, thou my true word. I ever worthy thou, Lord, only Lord. field sought for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Thou my soul's shelter, thou high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, after victory is won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Out of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.